full confession time. I am the Black Adam Schefter.
What?
I run
this
that
whole
account.
Time? What a reveal.
I run that
it
account.
It was me, Austin.
It was me
all along. Can I say something to the last caller?
What you do here?
I want to move
it.
On from this.
Do
Can
it.
I say several things?
You say how silly
Let
you
me say one thing. What? So the last guy who doesn't like the only great player on the Celtics right now, which is Kyrie Irving. We had a caller call in, if you missed it, who said they're better without him because he shoots a lot and they're better defensively. Like, the NBA is super defense this year, by the way. They're better defensively without him. How about this stat, courtesy of Sean Grandy? The Celtics are 11-4. When Kyrie Irving scores 24 or more points in a game, they are 10-11 when he doesn't. So that strikes me as you want him scoring. So you can take the shots stat that you had and shove it, and then you can listen to this one.
Well,
seems a little harsh.
I want Kyrie to score.
Selective stat analysis. You can pick and choose the stats that you want and make your case.
Are they better or worse without their best player?
Right. That's the much better question. You can make stats dance in a lot of cases.
That's a good point.
But when push comes to shove, tell me who takes his place.
Scary Terry.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, right.
Do they have a war in
they have they have a player efficiency rating, which I guess is similar to war.
Yeah.
I would say.
I don't even know what war is, but I heard people say
wins above replacement.
Right.
That's what I meant. Player efficiency rating, I think, is probably
the
best bet. And who do you think has the highest player efficiency rating on the Celtics?
Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Get out.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, wow. Woo. Woo. Hold the phone. Guess who has one of the lowest for guys who play a lot?
Jaylen Brown.
That's right.
Just going to guess
that. So, you know what? That stat checks out. I like that one very much.
Two quick notes as we get back to the calls with you guys. Two quick notes from the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Moments ago.
Very strong.
We missed one.
Well, what do you mean?
It was cut in the interest of time.
Thank you.
Two things. One, Stephon Gilmore, all pro.
Oh, shoot. I should have had that in
that
there.
That was in there.
All pro.
And the other one, which I just somehow get a kick out of, Mike Tomlin has apparently decided he's going to part ways with Joey Porter.
Joey Porter gone.
Linebackers coach.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, maybe he can pursue a job as a head coach.
So linebackers the reason that they folded?
I think they had other issues there.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pro Football Talk, you know, put the little tweet out. You know, Steelers won't renew Joey Porter's contract. Kevin Youkilis, the Greek god of walks,
and hops,
and
now
huge Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Yes,
he tweeted out the Pro Football Talk tweet, and then wrote, "Looks like the Bengals finally have a chance to beat the Steelers in the playoffs now," with a little winky eye emoji.
Yeah, right.
Attaboy, Kevin.
They're not going to sniff the playoffs for a long time.
Nope.
They're screwed in that division. Yeah. They're absolutely screwed.
Yeah, you're right.
Now that the Browns
especially
are good.
Especially if they hire Hugh Jackson.
Oh, my God. If they hire Hugh Jackson.
What a disaster. You guys are crazy. That's not going to happen.
They kept Marvin Lewis that long.
This is a sensible and logical world, and hiring Hugh Jackson is never going to happen.
You're right.
In this building, a sensible, logical world.
They did hire
this building.
The NFL is a sensible, fair, and decent organization. They would never do anything stupid.
He is?
What?
No,
they would never do. No,
no,
not that either.
So.
Okay.
No.
What?
As Peter King said, Cincinnati is the 33rd NFL franchise.
Yeah,
not good.
That sounds right.
Not good.
There's some dumps out there. I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying there's absolutely no chance they hire Hugh Jackson.
When McDaniels turned him down, my guess is a lot of other coaches would turn them down.
So, because it's not an attractive landing spot.
It's a terrible place to coach, but Hugh Jackson was hired on the staff mid-season, and that story came out like a week after he was hired there.
Yep.
They're like, if they move on from Marvin Lewis, it could be Hugh Jackson. And that hasn't gone anywhere. That's still kind of lingering.
Could you call that the least attractive landing spot for any
out of the
Arizona?
I think it's worse. I think Cincinnati's worse.
When we asked Peter that yesterday, he didn't even hesitate. He said Cincinnati's the worst.
Yeah, owner's dumb. They don't have a quarterback. There's a lot of things.
Arizona's got a young quarterback, right?
Yes.
I mean,
whether or not you like him, I guess, is a bigger question. I think that's a better
spot. The irony here is the Cleveland Browns have a felon for an owner, and that's the best coaching opportunity.
Best coaching job there.
Yeah.
Best one.
I would look at that and say, between the young talent and the quarterback that they have, if that job's offered to me and I'm an offensive coordinator, boom. It's not even a question.
Cleveland far
and away. I've revamped my opinion a little bit of Green Bay in terms of Josh McDaniels. I don't know if he's a candidate there or not.
He is.
But my first thought was, why would you want to dive into that mess with Aaron Rodgers? a neutered general manager and a CEO who's basically taking the general manager out of the equation. Why would you want to jump into that? And then I start thinking about it. You know what? Maybe a guy like Aaron Rodgers would pay attention to Josh McDaniels. Maybe he could get the best out of him.
Yeah, if he realizes he only's got a couple more years left, like maybe that. You
could, 3 years?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got 3 years left.
Give him time to develop a quarterback.
You know what? As it stands right now, it may be the only opportunity he has.
McDaniels, you mean?
It may be. Now, there's conflicting reports about Cleveland. A guy by the name of Steve Dorshuk, who writes for Canton, a paper in Canton, Ohio, the Canton Rep.
Dorshuk?
Well, I can't
I'm
help with the man's
I'm
name.
I'm not
is.
Sure. I remember him.
So Steve Dorshuk wrote today that Josh McDaniels is imminently interested in the Cleveland Browns job.
And that
the Browns are sending back channel feelers out to let him know they're interested in him. I heard Adam Schefter say today, he was on with Mutt and Callahan, he said he's got no interest in that.
McDaniels has no interest? Yeah.
And they don't have any interest in him
then
either.
He's out of his mind.
It's like neither.
Why would Cleveland have no interest?
Because why would you want Josh McDaniels?
Because he's got a track record of being one of the best coordinators in the business. He's
with
also
the best quarterback of all time.
Well, that doesn't hurt. He'd helped develop into being that good quarterback. It's not developed, but he's helped him along the way.
But Denver and St. Louis was a disaster.
Denver, both. And you learn from your mistakes.
Okay, so you're going
St.
with that.
St. Louis, he was an offensive coordinator,
but also,
not a head coach.
What if he gives you a verbal agreement? How good would you feel about that?
I wouldn't accept a verbal agreement.
No, that's the problem.
No, Josh, you can't leave this room
until you sign this paper next week.
Right.
I'll sign it next week. Guys, I'm good
for it. Okay, we withdraw the offer.
My word is good.
No, I'm dead serious.
If I was
Green Bay and I really wanted this
of course.
Guy, I would say to him, plain and simple,
hand him a pen.
Unless you sign, we're withdrawing
the offer. But why would McDaniels do something like that? Because we know the minute you do anything like that, it's a killer for your career, as we were told incessantly last year.
But again, it goes back to the NFL being dumb.
Well, wait a minute though, Steve. Brian Flores has got 4 job interviews this weekend with 4 NFL teams.
True.
As far as we know right now, Josh McDaniels has 1.
Well, he turned down Cincinnati.
He did turn down Cincinnati.
Yeah, right.
Good move by him.
No, I think it was.
But my point is, at least Josh McDaniels has got a longer track record as a coordinator. He's been a head coach. Brian Flores technically isn't even a coordinator yet. And he's got 4 teams chasing after
him. Was it Florio who said he was the first one to kind of pop up that what he did to the Colts may be on the minds of teams? Right, and maybe that's why he only has 1 interview lined up instead of 4 or 5.
2 interests.
So 8 teams available. Flores has half of them interested, and McDaniels only has a quarter of them interested.
Yeah.
And again, the track records are not even close.
Maybe they also look at the idea that part of what attracted him away from Indy and back to New England was a pretty sweet coordinator's deal with who knows what kind of hidden promise he might have at the end of that deal.
But then you also wonder what kind of staff could McDaniels field if...
True.
3 of his guys that he liked are in Indy and probably going to stay in Indy. And then you can't gut the Patriots staff because that's what Belichick was so mad at. Or one of the reasons he was so mad at Mangini, because wasn't he trying to get everybody to come with
him
to New York? So I don't know who else. I don't know what his coaching tree looks like right now.
Now, interestingly enough, we've talked about this. You would think that offensive coordinators would be much more attractive as head coaching candidates, given the importance of offense now and quarterbacks. And yet, as we said, Brian Flores, technically not the defensive coordinator, but in fact he is, has got 4 job interviews. He's already finished 1. The Miami Dolphins have announced that they've completed their job interview with Brian Flores. And I heard Schefter this morning talking about Flores, and he said something that kind of piqued my interest.
Nobody from the Miami Dolphins has told me that Brian Flores, it's one of those educated speculation things, Jerry, which there's a lot of that on the coaching carousel.
Right.
I texted one of my bosses the other day. They were asking about the Jets coach. I texted him a name, and then yesterday I texted that guy's name with another team. And he goes, I thought you told me with the Jets. I said, well, I'm just basing it off what you hear, right? I'm just saying from a match standpoint, it would be the Dolphins. I'm thinking, nobody said this to me from there. The Dolphins would like to take from the Patriots. Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, is very familiar and impressed with the Patriots system. Brian Flores is interviewed for jobs. I could just see it. I could just see it.
And it's one of those things where Schefter, you get the feeling.
Was
that,
he saying that? I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. Was he saying that Flores could be there?
He thinks that Flores is the logical move for the Miami Dolphins. And that was his first job interview today. He and Yeah, I always get the sense that he always knows more than he can say sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Or he phrases it that way to make you.
Yeah.
Like we all do at times.
And when I heard him this morning on with Mutt and Callahan, my first thought was, he knows the Dolphins really want this guy.
Interesting. Would you want the Dolphins job?
Well,
hell no.
Well, hold on. You're getting head coaching experience. You're getting a guaranteed contract. You're getting immediate exposure. You're putting your name into that in that hat for future scenarios.
All right, so I'll take it back. I would just say, if you're Josh McDaniels, and I'm not saying they're interested in him,
right.
But if you're Josh McDaniels, you already had one swing and a miss as being a head coach. I would not want the Miami job. But if you're Flores, then maybe I guess
agree.
You would.
Agree. Well,
but they're kind of screwed. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
You always wonder if any Bill Belichick disciple is going to take a job in the AFC East.
Right.
Now, Jets, forget it.
Especially after Mangini.
Nobody's going to take the Jets job if you're coming off Belichick's staff.
Not happening.
But the Dolphins, I could see it. Not Josh, as you pointed out. He's got to make sure the next move is
the
really
right
good, or he's done. In Flores' case, he doesn't even have he doesn't even have a coordinator's position yet.
Yeah, that'd be
he gets offered a head coaching job in Miami. You got a quarterback.
No,
maybe
I don't
he's
think
not
you
great.
Do.
Well,
I don't think you do, though.
I don't think he's great, but you got a quarterback.
But I think
you're not starting from scratch.
No, but you might be. I don't think they're committed to Tannehill long term, right? Weren't there stories written that they might be able to move on from him? And then where do you go? You know, the other teams in the AFC East, they just drafted their guys this year. The Dolphins don't have anybody young that's going to be able to take over. Tannehill is average.
Well,
he is the definition of an average quarterback.
But if you're deciding that by who your quarterback is, you've got Green Bay and Cleveland to go to.
No, well, Jets. I mean, I'm not for McDaniels, but I'm saying Jets and Cardinals, like they're all way more intriguing for any head coach.
Yeah,
because they all have young quarterbacks or they have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but do you...
Denver, terrible. The Bucks with
True.
Winston, terrible. Miami, terrible. Cincinnati, terrible.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that there's a chance, I'm not saying this is the case, I'm asking the question, that Brian Flores is getting as much interest as he is because teams know that they have to adhere to the Rooney Rule?
Sadly,
it's happened before.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely happened in the NFL before. And again, you can look at it both ways. Okay, teams are checking off a box on the Rooney Rule if they have to. But Brian Flores is getting some invaluable experience going through the process. So,
right. So think about that. He did an interview last year with the Cardinals.
Yep.
This year, he gets an elevated role with the team, even though it's not the title. And even if he stays, next year, I'm sure he'll be given the title. He'll be defensive coordinator. He'll have 5 head coaching interviews under his belt. And maybe the next time he goes. Now, who knows? Maybe he does take the Miami job this year.
Maybe they offer it to him.
Maybe he does. And maybe he gets it. But if not, next year, like Steve said, he has all that experience. And maybe he's really lined up to take a job.
And the Patriots have another good year. And all of a sudden, you look at it and say, okay, well, now I can maybe have a choice of a better job.
Right.
You know, who knows?
Ursula is in Pepperell. Hey, Ursula. Hello, Ursula.
Ursula. Under the sea?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah,
hi,
Ursula.
Hi.
Hey.
Actually, so I got a few comments for
Great.
You guys lined up.
Yep.
So my first is, one of you guys actually made a statement, and is, I guess, nice to be invited to the interview, even though you know you're only there to check a box. And statements like that are kind of why statements like Stephen A's are warranted. Meaning, until you've been the person that's been discriminated against, until you've been the person that's been treated other or less than because you are a minority.
Okay, but Ursula, let me ask you this. The teams do have to go along with the role, correct? With the rule? They do have to. It's mandated, correct?
And the reason why is because it had to be put in place.
I'm not disputing that fact. I'm not disputing. I'm not disputing that at all.
Right.
But
you're asking me to be grateful.
Not grateful.
No. Just
nobody said Ursula. Nobody said grateful.
Yeah.
I just said if this part of the process, then you can look at it two ways.
Happy. Right.
Never said happy. Never said happy.
No.
Ursula. Ursula. Nobody ever said happy or grateful. Nobody ever said that. You're putting that's your idea. I've never said that. Nobody here's ever said happy or grateful just for the opportunity. What I said is if there is an upside to it, the upside is getting experience in the interview process. Nobody said happy. Because, nobody said grateful.
Right, but you're taking away that upside just because even though they didn't plan to interview you in the beginning.
So can I ask you a question? Is it a bad thing to interview?
If you're wasting my time, Yes.
Okay. Well, then,
then you don't have to take the interview.
You have the choice to decline the interview. And it's happened before, Ursula. It's happened before. There's been black coaches that have declined interviews because they understood that it was checking the box. Isn't that the individual's choice?
Hello?
Isn't it, Ursula?
Yes and no. Because if you're basically saying, I got to play the game in order to get in, you're not really giving me a choice. Because if I don't take it...
Well, there's coaches...
They're going to say, just don't waste your time with that person.
Well, there are coaches that have said that. There are coaches that have said that. And it is still their choice.
Yeah. And so going on with that is that Stephen A. wasn't necessarily making it, I believe, a racial issue as opposed to people who don't understand. And one of the comments was also said that you have to have a dialogue in order to understand. Sometimes the point of learning is to listen.
And that's part of listening is...
Sometimes the comments that people make are because they actually haven't listened to the people making statements.
Agreed. But can I ask you what the definition of a dialogue is? Isn't that listening and talking?
But not necessarily learning.
But
you actually have to sometimes listen to that person's point of view.
Agreed.
And listen and absorb what they're saying.
Agreed. But how can you listen without talking? I mean, if you're not talking back and forth, how does anybody have the...
You can learn easily without talking. You can actually learn a lot by saying the same thing, sitting in that interview, right?
Yep.
Taking notes on what they want.
But Ursula, I think what Steve's point is, if you don't have a dialogue, you can't learn.
And we listened to Stephen A. Smith, Ursula. Could you tell us what his point was?
Like I said, I believe it's to the people, and it may not be you guys, because not everybody is making a valuable comment.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are really, when ignorance is bliss, when you really don't understand
the whole
statement. It's like me paraphrasing a Bible phrase to make my point, saying, yeah, even the Bible said this. But what did the verses before that statement say, and what did the verses after that say?
Agreed.
I guess I just got hung up in it, Ursula, the way he was talking about how these players, the coaches got fired, but not even getting into whether or not they deserve to be fired. And I thought they all kind of did.
That's also kind of taking part of a statement. Like, when you take only part of a statement, you never really hear the whole subject matter that was being covered. So we can pick apart and paraphrase what he was trying to say just from those simple phrases. But once again, what was said before?
Ursula, thank you for the call and the discussion. I enjoyed the discussion as well.
Again, the idea that having a conversation is bad one way or the other. If the conversation turns out that one person isn't listening,
that's on him.
You learn something. The other person in the dialogue in the conversation learned something about that person.
But they also really hit on the pros and cons of the Rooney Rule. Nobody is saying that it's the perfect rule,
right. You
know. And you're right. You don't. That's what we're saying with Brian Flores. Like, you hope all those teams are taking him seriously as a candidate, and it sounds like at least Miami is.
But the presumption that Ursula had that anybody said that any coach should be grateful or happy, nobody ever said that. We said if you choose to do it, and it is your choice, if you choose to do it, and you decide to learn something from it or get the job one way or the other.
And it may just give you valuable interviewing experience, which will help you ultimately on your path.
That's your choice, the individual's choice, not the choice of everybody else. It's the individual's choice.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter, @Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI. Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Now. Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say? Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
We don't need you.
Stupid journeys.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
I love Hot Wieners.
My husband and I have always enjoyed Waffle House.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm going to point out next hour just what a fraud Michael Holly is.
Ooh. Here we go. It's Week in Review time,
Dale.
You
know, sometimes things just have to be said.
You're absolutely right, and I believe you got him. I think you did prove what a fraud that he was.
I might have. I probably failed.
Short week for us, but a normal week on WEEI. Oh. He still had a full boat of shows. Actually, that's not true. Maybe not on Tuesday, but that's fine. Let's not get caught up in the details. On Monday, we had Rob Bradford, Chris Filani, and Rob Ninkovich filling in for Dale and me. Little backstory here. Rob Ninkovich is on with us every single Monday in person during the football season, including one show where he and I got into an argument over Josh Gordon.
It was pretty heated, to be honest.
I wanted Josh Gordon, as you can imagine. Rob Ninkovich did not want Josh Gordon, so he waited till a day that we weren't in there to, I guess, bring that back up. And did he get it right?
And then Dale was like, "Oh, but what are you going to do? You're going to, like, just not have receivers?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Rob, I'm Dale.
Oh, hi, Dale.
He's Rich.
Dale's new to the market. He may not know
He's
Dale.
He's Rich. I'm Dale. Rob, I was on your side! And by the way, I don't sound like that either.
You don't think you sound like
no.
this?
Dale was like, "Oh, but what are you going to do? You're going to, like, just not have receivers?" I'm like,
it Rob, too. It's such though. A joke. Such a joke. The argument wasn't no receivers or not, or Rob was saying they're going to be fine with their receivers. He thought it was a bad message to send to the whole roster. Like, they wouldn't be able to handle Josh Gordon coming in. And those guys love him. Edelman loves him. Brady loves him.
Wasn't Brady's first press conference after that him wearing the Josh Gordon, like, hat
and the jacket thing?
Yeah.
He was wearing, like, the, like, that
the Josh
plaid
Gordon outfit.
Type
yes.
thing. And then Edelman's avatar is a Jordan
he came
or
into
Gordon
the game
jersey.
With the same thing.
Please.
I was
on.
Against them acquiring him just because I thought the chances of him making it through the season were slim and none, based on his history.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you get to a point where you rely on him and then he's gone.
You weren't afraid of an injury.
You weren't afraid of the message that it was sending, like,
the message
was.
Didn't mean much to me.
You were afraid of how those guys were going to
I thought they were grown-ass men who could probably handle the
probably,
message.
Probably. You would think maybe they could.
Yeah.
Well, now,
the idea is if the same thing with a guy who's often injured. You take a shot at it and see if it works.
Yes.
If you want to be totally mercenary about it.
They always do. Look at the guys the Patriots have brought in.
Take a shot at it.
Albert Haynesworth?
Yeah.
You guys are still getting away from the point here. He doesn't know who either one of them are.
We are burying the lead.
Yeah, sorry. I got caught up in something different altogether.
Yep. He has no idea.
You're right.
This is also a guy.
And again, he's in studio with us.
I thought we had a thing.
Day.
I thought Rob and I had a connection.
You don't.
I thought we were pals.
No.
I thought we were going to go shooting guns together and stuff.
Next Monday, the two of you guys call each other the wrong names. Just do it. See what
you know what? Let's switch identities, Monday. Let's mess with him. You be Dale. I'll be Rich. He won't know the difference.
Wait, what are you going to do? Just not have receivers?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man. Maybe just a little bit, no?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get it right. You got to at least get the right guy there.
That is a
swing and a miss.
Why, does that sound more like you than Dale?
Maybe it does. I feel like neither of us sound like that, but I could be wrong. Maybe there's a little bit there. Now, Monday, Tom Brady was on, as he is every single Monday, but this time, no Mutt, no Callahan, so it was Mark James and Greg Dickerson. And finally, after all these weeks, we finally were able to get the question that we really wanted asked to Tom Brady.
No doubt about it. Tom, as of today, what's your decision on coming back for your 20th season?
I talked about this a bunch. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery, you know. Again, I
when did you ever bring this up, Tom? We've never talked about this, ever.
Yeah, I know.
Mark, he's only answered that
1,000 times?
Well, just this year, probably 50.
With every single person.
Jim Gray. I mean, everybody.
Oprah Winfrey.
He keeps saying, not only do I want to come back next year, I want to play beyond next year. But Mark was going to get us right to the heart of the question. I'm going to ask the question.
How awkward would it have been if Dickerson wasn't there? Dickerson saves it.
Yeah.
Dickerson jumps in there to sort of lighten the mood a little bit. Because if it was just this.
As of today, what's your decision on coming back for your 20th season?
I talked about this a bunch. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery, you know. Again,
when did you ever bring this up, Tom? We've never.
See, if it wasn't for Dickerson, I don't know where this part
was.
Yeah, it could have gone.
I don't know where
rails.
It was going to go. That was a bit of a mess for sure.
It definitely was.
But there you go. You got a chance. Mark got a chance to interview Tom Brady.
So
there was the highlight of it.
Happy
right there.
About that.
We lost a legend this week, Mean Gene
Very
Okerlund.
Sad.
He passed away at the age of 76
Something to
on
wrestle
Wednesday.
With Bruce Pritchard today is doing an entire show.
Is that right?
Honoring Mean Gene.
Rossi on Wrestling as well. Rossi on Wrestling.
You could run his interviews for an hour and put
a
good show together.
One of the best. And thankfully, Jim the Wrestling Goon gave us a call on Wednesday to sum up the career of Mean Gene.
I mean, I don't get the opportunity because he hasn't called in so long.
Let's go.
Jim the Wrestling Goon is calling from the Squared Circle. Hello, Jim.
Hey, I'm calling from Parts Unknown.
Parts
Unknown. What's
up?
Well,
there you go.
Mean Gene, how old was the man?
76.
I think his liver was 150.
Well, that might be true.
Could be right.
Yeah,
could be.
There's a lot of rum and coke in that blood, my friend.
Is that right?
I guarantee you that. He was one of the greatest broadcast journalists of all time. There's no question about that.
I agree. I don't know how we could even argue.
I agree.
One of the great interviewers of all time. You could take your Oprah and Phil Donahue and the rest of those bums and throw them aside.
I agree.
That man could get anybody to talk. He was an unbelievable interviewer.
Somebody want to break the news to Jim the wrestling goon?
No, don't do it, Dale. No, don't do it. He's right. He really is right. Honestly, let's be real.
He can get at anybody.
How did he get Randy Macho Man Savage to speak like that?
Some people think Howard Stern. Some people, he's great.
And it took him. Those guys were all like, it took them a long time to get there. Mean Gene, right off the bat.
Mean Gene was incredible. But the first thing he mentioned was how many rum and cokes he's had.
Well,
that was the
help.
First memory he had of Mean Gene.
I heard it helps get
of Gene Mean.
Yeah, warm the people up.
You got a couple yourself here today, haven't you?
Is that what Jericho called him?
Gene. This is what Jericho
Chris
called
Jericho
him.
Called him Gene Mean.
Mean by God, Gene.
Now, Dale, there's a new show on TV, which I know you're not giving it much of a chance. It's
Zero
called The
chance.
Masked.
It is not going to. It might
Singer.
Not survive the month.
The Masked Singer, which was a show that they've stolen. Like a lot of these game shows, they steal. This one, I believe, was in Korea. Which Ryan Reynolds actually went on and got a hell of an ovation. But
so
this
let me
is,
get this straight.
They brought to America.
Ryan
Reynolds
was on the one in Korea.
Yes.
And Steve, you watched The Masked Singer?
I saw that one,
of course.
By the way.
Masked Singer?
It was good. Yeah. I saw a video.
It was great. They were fired up about it. They were like, here's Deadpool. Let's get excited about it. So they're trying to dust this thing off and debut it in America. So the first person they get is, we'll do a little spoiler here, none other than the great Antonio Brown. He's been in the news a lot. Now, they didn't film this week. This has been filmed for a while. But the show is very stupid. The show is you have literally a person with a mask on. They sing a song. And then you have a panel of judges who try to guess them. The person under the mask also, in a disguised voice, gives them hints on who it may be.
And every time I win, I just gotta dance, even if it gets me in trouble.
That's actually one of the first good clues he's given.
Look, I go AWOL for my team. I don't show up for 3 days at a time. And then here
that would give it away.
I show up in a fur coat, week 17. My agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Who am I? The league of touchdown passes. I hate my coach, and I hate my quarterback.
What's the most important meal of the day for a competitor like me?
Stuck a flapjacks every day. Lots of syrup. Love syrup. Pass the hash browns. Some of my favorite food is hash browns. Not to be confused with my last name. Oops. Did I say too much?
This hippo's got game, but I've also got a voice. People just haven't heard it yet.
Although you just heard it. So what I said, I contradicted myself because you have heard it. This voice here is not my actual voice. I'm masking my voice.
Well, it would be better if it was his real voice. It would be so good. It's like your real voice.
Yeah.
The voice you use
different.
On the radio is totally different.
Very different. I have my radio voice.
Sitting in the office, you sound like
this. I sound a lot like this, Bill, and I had to change it for the radio so nobody can know my real voice.
Sounds like Meatwad from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force, actually.
that
sounds
really
like. That was Antonio Brown. And then when they finally had the reveal, everyone was like, oh.
Odell. It's Odell Beckham. Oh,
they're like, I think it's an athlete. I think it's Deion Sanders. They're like, it's me. It's Antonio Brown.
Oh,
they're like,
what?
Fine.
And Jenny McCarthy acting like, oh, my God.
No idea. If you gave her $1 million to say, what team is he on? She would not have gotten that $1 million. We opened up the show on Thursday. We get some interesting texts from time to time on the old text line, Dale. Some of them are about what we're talking about. Others are not.
I always wonder about texts that we get that says, hi, Joan.
No,
sorry
Joan.
For the wait.
Oh.
In the house, there are linens, towels, coffee maker, kettle, washers, dryer, microwave. You should probably bring shampoo and body wash and maybe even laundry detergent.
Body wash.
In case you run out. If you have any more questions, feel free to ask. I have a couple.
I have a few, Joan.
Are you sending us
a bed and breakfast?
I don't know.
It's a very descriptive, or is that like a Craigslist like encounters type of situation?
Every once in a while, we'll get a text that's obviously a guy trying to make up to... a little woman
so
at home.
Sorry.
And, I can't believe I said that.
On my way home. There's a lot of that one. Like, I'll be right there. And you're like, nope, wrong text. We have everything but body wash.
Yeah.
Which we recommend you bring in
a lot of body
spades.
Wash, if you don't mind, Joan.
Please.
Just bring buckets of body wash, if you wouldn't mind, Joan.
We know all about you, Joan.
Now, Lucy very correctly pointed out, this is obviously an Airbnb type.
Oh,
for sure.
And you know, unfortunately, they got our number. So we don't know if Joan ever got the information. So we don't know if Joan ever brought the body wash.
Probably not. It had been making an extra stop. Now, yesterday, it's a new year. So it's a new Jason Rossi back here. He has said, you know what? We are going to be a little bit quicker with the phone calls. We want people to bring some good stuff to the table. Don't take your sweet time like we have in the past. So yesterday, we got into a string of callers who I think don't think we're prepared for 2019 Jason Rossi.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, Nathan.
I wanted to talk about that.
Dale, I think we may have to move on there. I don't know if he was ready to go. That's all right.
A New Year's resolution, Keith.
Oh, I have one, too.
We need to blow more people up this year.
Oh, come on.
We need to blow more people up.
I like that.
No,
that's a strong take from Dale.
No.
Fred, hey, Joe, how you doing?
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
And Jesus loves you all. And I have one request before I make my comment. If you blow me up, please be gentle. Thank you.
Okay. Was that gentle enough?
That was gentle.
What are you talking about?
Before you got too deep.
In Connecticut. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, I'm right here.
Hey, what's up? Go ahead.
I lost you guys last time, though.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yes, you did.
I wanted to talk about the African-American coaching.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with most of what that guy said, but...
Oh, Rossi, come on. I disagree with that one. I wanted to see where that was going.
See, did you?
I did.
Really?
I did, yes.
So, new Rossi, see, you better be ready. Yeah. You better be ready.
Upon a second hearing,
yes,
I'm fairly certain there was a liquid lunch involved.
Could have been. What's wrong with that?
You talking about with me?
What's wrong with that? As long as you're not driving.
I didn't say it was bad.
Okay,
I just said that might have been what the issue was.
All right, yeah. I mean, you could be right.
Well, this year we're going to be much quicker with the calls.
I like it.
Earlier today, I even let that one go too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of, after about 45 seconds of it, I was intrigued as to what happened to his friend.
See, that's the problem. When you don't blow him up early enough, you might actually...
I was like, oh, the one guy that had the resume with his friend earlier today?
Yeah, oh, my God, awesome. He got demoted to recruiting coordinator. Damn him. I never saw that twist coming.
Like Steve, I already gave him Dale's cell. If he calls again, I'll give him yours.
Right, yeah, we're good.
You guys can have that off.
Call you after 2 o'clock.
Which one? The one you have or the one I usually use?
Oh, what?
the one you have or the one I have? Jeez.
I'm getting used to that, just so you know. There's a couple people that do that. Didn't realize.
All right, there you go.
We've got Boston Bruins tickets. We're going to give them away in just a couple of minutes. We'll get back to the calls with you. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Dale and Keith with D'Ossi, Sports Radio, WEEI.
And then Dale was like, oh, but wait, what are you going to do? You're going to, like, just not have receivers? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Paul stuck of flapjacks every day. Lots of syrup. Love syrup.
No doubt about it.
Mean Gene, how old was the man?
76.
I think his liver was 150.
If you blow me up, please be gentle. Thank you.
Was that gentle enough for you?
Yeah, yo.
I hate to say it.
Late in the year, but I also like the Texans, so I could not. I looked at this game for a long time. I could not come up with a winner of the game, so I started looking at the total, and I have talked myself into. In fact, I'll tell you off the top, this is my lock of the week. I'm going to start Saturday either in a really good mood or really bad mood. I love the over in this game.
M&M Investments.
How many episodes do they have to?
Firm stance. I think
six.
That was six.
That was six?
Hot six.
I heard it was a grand total of about 12 minutes long.
Is that right?
Oh, breaking news. Oh. It was number five.
Oh, it was five.
Oh, boy.
Lucy did there a recount. It is.
Yeah, she added them up there real quick. Five episodes.
It was five.
Yeah, I still don't think they're going to reach 10.
Well,
because once the football season's over, they're really going
to
keep this thing going?
This weekend, and he didn't like any of them.
Nah, he didn't have a good feel of the board. He went over, though. Over? Hey, that's still a nice bet. Get that over in the Colts-Texans game.
Yeah, I could.
I don't know about that.
I might be in for that. What's the number?
What's the over again?
48. 48's the number.
Yeah.
You like the over or the under there?
Over.
You feel as good as Mutt did? That's his lock of the week. Let's not forget.
No freaking lock of the week.
All right. Okay. All right,
you're not getting on that podcast.
Colts-Texans right now, it's essentially a pick 'em. Texans at home, they're the one-point favorite. Who do you like there? Colts are hot right now.
They are.
Andrew Luck looks real strong.
They are, but then they go and lay an egg at Jacksonville like that.
Followed that up with some good performances.
They did. I know. Well, I mean.
Can Andrew Luck win on the road? In the playoffs?
I say yes. Colts feel better to me than the Texans. The Texans, however, are the team I want the Patriots to face the most.
Right.
I think that's their best matchup.
I think the Texans win that.
All right, good. That's good news for the Patriots.
Yeah, push, come to shove, I think I'll pick the Colts.
Yeah. I'll pick the Colts. Yep. The other game on Saturday is Seahawks and Cowboys. Cowboys are two-point favorites. What do you think?
I like watching that Seahawks team. I really do. Yeah. I mean, that's a fun team to watch, and their defense isn't as good as it's been in the past. But
usually you're pretty safe if you bet against Jason Garrett doing anything smart in the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, you really think the Cowboys are going to win a playoff game here? I don't. I would take the Seahawks, even though, I mean, they're significantly better at home, but I would still. And we'll talk to Mike Norman coming up.
Do you want to know what the Pickmasters went with on that
sure,
one?
Sure, yeah.
I could see Seattle being favored. Seattle's better. Better quarterback, better running game, better defense, definitely better coach, and I'm getting them plus a point and a half in a primetime game. Give me Seattle. Give me Seattle plus 1.5.
I got to agree with you here. I'm taking Seattle, too.
Is that a little Nick Wright by Mutt? Better defense.
Better defense.
They have a better running game.
They have a better roster.
Didn't Ezekiel Elliott lead the league in rushing yards?
He might have, yeah.
So you think that, I mean, I didn't add them all up, but I would just think, isn't Ezekiel Elliott the Cowboys have a better running game than most teams? I don't know, maybe I'm not. Maybe, I mean, those guys, they're the investors.
Yeah, I don't know about that number. Seattle was up there too, though.
They were. Yeah. You know what, you're right. Seattle, I think as a team, had more yards.
Yeah.
But I just look at Elliott. Yeah, the guy's insane.
He is.
The Steelers absolutely have a more consistent defense. The Steelers have more.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Seattle's better. Better quarterback. Okay. Better running game, better defense.
I take it back. They have a better running game, I guess, overall, but I like Elliott more. But I like Wilson a lot better than Dak Prescott. I like Pete Carroll more than Jason Garrett. So I think Seattle wins. I think Seattle wins that game. Sunday, what do you got?
I'm going with Seattle.
You're going
with
Seattle.
Yeah,
Dale?
Like
Dallas.
Ooh, all right. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Chargers-Ravens. And we'll know whether or not, by this time, whether it's the winner playing the Patriots or not.
There were a couple of those MMQB pickers. You know, I said there's only one guy I found who picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
There were a couple that had the Chargers.
Chargers are like the
chic pick right now.
Yeah. And, I look at this game, and I'm going to take the Chargers here on the road.
See?
All right. See, I mean, you got Maloney involved there. They're also getting 2.5, the Chargers are, on the road. I'll take the Chargers there.
Getting 2.5, usually isn't the...
They're on the road.
Don't you usually get 3 points just for being at home?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're only 2.5? I mean...
My favorites, yeah. So they're saying neutral site
that's a pick.
Is basically a pick 'em. Yeah. Chargers slight favorite. I'll take the Chargers there.
I hate when you make sense like that because I'd love to disagree with you. All right?
Making a lot of sense.
In attendance this year, the L.A. Chargers had the greatest percentage increase in the NFL.
Really?
They were up 29%.
Well, nobody went to those games.
Well, last year right, they were like, they knew they were, yeah, that makes sense.
They had
sense.
A 29% increase in average
attendance. Plus, they were really good.
And just a quick aside here.
Yes.
This year in the NFL, the average crowd was 67,100. That's the lowest since 2010.
Hmm.
Now, the TV numbers were up over last year, but they're still down over a couple of years ago. And average attendance is the lowest since 2010.
Hmm.
Biggest drop shouldn't be a surprise, the Redskins. 19% drop in it.
Which is strange because you always thought of them as one of those teams that it didn't matter. For years, they had a surplus of season, like the Patriots have on the waiting list. For years, they had the same thing in Washington.
They had a wait list and everything. I wondered if Alex Smith going down, I wonder how much of that was late in the season when they were like, all right, forget it. We got Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson.
Or the fact that they haven't competed in however many years.
No, that could be.
Now.
All right, let's get to the last one.
Yep, Eagles at the Bears.
Chicago and Philly, where you lean this?
This is my lock, and this is Chicago given 6, and this one to me is going to be easy.
Wow.
I'm with Lou.
Bears.
Chicago's
big. Yeah.
They're really good. They're still really good. They've had Mitch Trubisky all year, and they've been really good.
Is he the worst quarterback in the playoffs?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson versus Mitch Trubisky is a pretty good question, I would say.
That's the question of the century.
It is. We have a new winner. I would take Lamar Jackson. If I had to choose between the two, I think I'd rather have Lamar Jackson.
I would like to see Philadelphia win because I think that's if Foles can find a way to get this, that's a phenomenal story.
Foles,
phenomenal
that'd be
story
that'd
if you could find
it.
They did it 2 years in a row.
That would be ridiculous. But I don't know if they can beat the Bears at home. I'm not sure.
We'll talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin. He'll join us next. Then we'll get back to your calls on the other side. Dale and Keefe with Diossi, Sports Radio, WEEI.